Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and I thought it was time for me to do another show about, well, podcasting. I'm going to go solo today, no guest. I do this every now and then, and fortunately, some good listeners write in and tell me they'd like to hear more of that. So I'm going to just do kind of my current thinking on podcasting. It's probably changed very little, actually, even though podcasting itself seems to be the hot new way to produce content. So I have been doing, let's see, about 2005 is when I produced my first podcast. I really got into it as a way to create content, and I also saw it as a tremendous way to get in front, or at least unlock some opportunities to get in front of leading authors and industry experts. I've often told people that I actually would podcast whether I had, you know, five listeners or six listeners, because of really the access that it gave me to people that then went on to blurb my books and to be supportive of the other things I'm doing. People like Guy Kawasaki and Seth Godin and Chris Brogan and Dan Pink, Chip Heath, all of these people have appeared on my show and really now are pretty open to having conversations with me. And I think that really, in a lot of ways, led to the success of my brand was that I pursued podcasting, frankly, for that means, probably as much as trying to build a radio show, per se. And I think that that's really a lot of how I would suggest that you look at podcasting is you're obviously a listener, and I think that you understand the value of consuming content this way. In fact, there certainly are people that write to me all the time that tell me that that's really how they prefer to get content of all kinds, whether it's a book or a blog post, that they would rather hear it. They'd rather go on their walk or their daily commute. There are people out there, believe it or not, that drive 2 and 3 hours in the car every day going back and forth, or on a train going back and forth to work. And it's a great way to consume content. And so I would say the why everybody needs to be podcasting is that it is a great way to get in front of an audience. It might be, you know, I've listed authors because that's who I choose to interview, but it's also a great local play. Get in front of the local leaders, get in front of industry leaders, get in front of potential strategic partners. It doesn't have to be some big name in the world of, you know, your industry. It can be somebody that just has some great insight, or somebody that you really want to get to know better. And this is a great way to offer to interview them. In fact, my email subject line is always interview request. And it seems like that's hard for people to turn down. But in a world where we need, or our markets are expecting us to produce more and more content, it's also a great way to produce content. So a lot, much like a blog. I mean, we call a podcast, and we call a blog a blog, but frankly, they're just a means to an end. So whatever you call it, it's just a great way to produce content. In fact, I know growing numbers of people that will take their blog posts, or maybe just once a week take a blog post, and they will read it into a microphone and turn it into that weekly podcast. And there are people out there that just would rather get their content that way. So that's my pitch for why I think you need to consume podcast, and why I believe that every business needs to be producing a podcast as well. Now, you know, what would you put on a podcast? For example, my show, I interview experts. It's just the approach that I want to take. But there are many, many great shows out there that simply break down how to do things, teaching people and building audiences that way. There are people that use their show to talk about news and events and, you know, new things in their industry. So there are many, many reasons that people would want to listen to a podcast. I would say the bar is like everything: educational, high quality, valuable. Would I want to spend my 20 or 30 minutes listening to it? I mean, that's the bar really for anything that we put out under the name of content. So that's certainly, I think, the what is plentiful, but then, you know, how you get it out there and you know, what the value of the content is, it obviously has to be considered. I want to talk about my current approach, the tools that I use briefly, and all of these are on the show notes. So if you go to ducttapemarketing.com, the blog, /blog, you'll find the podcast, and you can listen to these, read the show notes that will also tell you the various resources. But I currently use a Blue Yeti USB microphone. So it's from Blue Manufacturing. It's called a Yeti, Y-E-T-T-I, and it's a USB, so it plugs right into my computer. Somebody gave me some great advice that, you know, sound quality. And again, I've been guilty of poor sound quality over the years. But I'm sure you as a listener understand that it's hard to listen to a podcast, you know, even if it's great content. If the, you know, the guests are different volumes, you know, I've committed all the sins, and I've certainly worked harder and harder to try to get this sounding as good a quality as possible. But the microphone quality on my end is an important piece of it. I interview guests that will call me from, you know, mobile devices. I had Tim Ferriss call me one time. He was walking somewhere out in the woods and the wind was blowing. He was on a mobile device. So in many cases, you can't control the sound on that end, but you can control the sound on your end. And so somebody once told me that if at least one of you sounds really good, then that's got to be the bar. And I think my particular way. There certainly are people that sit across the desk from each other and they'll plug two microphones into a mixer and really have everything sounding great. Because I choose to interview people wherever they are around the world, I do have to just accept a level of, there are things I can do to make it better, but I have to accept a level of reduced quality on the caller side. What I do though is, and have done this for years, is I use Skype actually to record these. And I, you know, back 5-6 years ago, not everybody had a Skype account. And so I actually used a Skype in account. So what Skype would do is give me an 8-digit or a 9-digit phone number. I could give that out. It was a local phone number. I could give that phone number out to people and they would dial in on their phone. So they didn't have to be at their computer or on Skype. And they would be able to, it would actually come straight through Skype anyway. And what that allowed me to do is record both of our voices very, very easily. Now, the usage of Skype has, you know, really skyrocketed over the years. And I find now, particularly anybody that is in the digital space that is doing much outside of their community where they need to do a lot of, you know, maybe even international calling, seems like everybody's got Skype. So I actually get a better connection. So I give people both options. I give them that local number, but then I suggest if they have Skype, call in that way. I believe we get better call quality. Now I use an add-on to Skype called Call Recorder. It does have a cost. I've had it forever. It's $29 or something. It's well worth the cost. And what that does is allows me to then instantly record these phone calls digitally, right into, as I'm doing the phone calls through Skype. And I think the thing I like about it the most, is that it also splits the tracks. So instead of making one recording, it records my voice separately from my caller's voice. And so then I can easily separate those tracks. And so when I get into the editing phase, there are instances in which the caller's volume is much higher than mine or vice versa. And so it gives me the ability to do a little tweaking in that regard, adjust the tracks. I use GarageBand because I'm a Mac user. I know a lot of folks out there also like a PC program, free PC program called Audacity. But I choose to use GarageBand. And I tell you, I got, on top of bringing in the tracks separately and being able to adjust the volume and some of the things on the track separately, one piece of advice, and I trust me, I'm not audio savvy at all when it gets into the technical parts of this, and that's probably been one of my challenges over the years. But somebody recently told me that one of the best things you can do to improve the overall quality is to put a filter or an effect, I should say, on the master track, and it's just called a compressor. So I chose a compressor, and it I don't know why it works or how it works, but essentially it just makes everything a little warmer sounding, and you don't get the highs and the lows the same way. And I believe that it makes it when you go to upload and change and do all the things that, and then people download it, apparently it makes it travel a little better around the world, and it certainly appeared to help the quality on mine. Of course, you guys be the judge of that, any of you that have been listening any amount of time. Once you record and edit and you've got the music on there and you've got the file itself the way that you want it to sound, I have been using Libsyn to host and stream the podcast, which is not a huge issue. I mean, most hosting accounts today could probably handle that streaming, but I really like it because it, fortunately, I do have a fair volume of downloads, and so it really would be pretty hard on my regular hosting account to just have people downloading that thousands of times a day in some cases. And so Libsyn is pretty inexpensive. Again, I think I want to say I pay $20 a month for a pretty good size amount of data transfer hosting of and streaming of the files. Now, you do need to produce an RSS feed, or I should say, in my case, I put the podcast as really just part of my blog. And what I do is I created a WordPress category that I just call podcast. And WordPress categories can actually produce their own RSS feeds. That to me is one of the simplest ways to actually integrate. If you're already blogging or already have a WordPress site, one of the simplest ways is to just create a category that produces an RSS feed. Now, I used FeedBurner, which is a Google tool, which a lot of people suspect may be going away someday, a free Google tool. But currently, that's how I enhance my feed. That's how I get my feed up to iTunes. I also use a WordPress plugin called Blueberry, and it's Blubrry, Blueberry PowerPress, and it does some things to enhance the feed. It actually creates a player that embeds on my site, so if somebody doesn't want to go download it, doesn't subscribe, doesn't use iTunes, all those things, they can actually find it pretty easily, or listen to it pretty easily, and even download it if they want. From the player that the Blueberry plugin produces. So that pretty much amounts to how I actually produce my podcast, and that's all the technical knowledge I can give you. A lot of the resources I just mentioned are on the associated notes. I'll just end up the session today giving you some recommendations on some podcasts. If you are not listening to podcasts currently, I think you should be. And I'll give you kind of some of the ones I listen to. I would also tell you, if you want to find out more about how to podcast, one of the greatest resources is the Podcast Answer Man site. Cliff Ravenswood really does a great job with a lot more of this technical stuff. He's got free ebooks and courses and all kinds of things. So if you want to get really, really serious about it, that's the place to head. As far as my listening, I listen to Seth Godin's Startup School. I listen to anything Seth talks about, but this one's really cool. It's a series of sessions that really he did with in a workshop with some new startup entrepreneurs. So it's really cool. Mike Stelzner's social media marketing podcast, really, if you want to know what's going on in social media, what's new, he talks to obviously lots of thought leaders, but also gets into even tools and companies that are doing things to support companies in the social media world. Chris Brogan's Human Business Way is a great one. Chris, if you don't know, if you've never heard him speak, very soulful guy, really talks from the heart, and his podcast really comes across that way. He covers, in many cases, he will talk about, he does a really great heartfelt ramble on his Sunday session or Sunday actually blog post that he turns into a podcast, and then he does interviews as well. He's in some cases you know, is all over the map, but produces some incredible content. DJ Waldo and Nick Westergaard have a show called The Work Talk Show that I really like because they do talk about a lot of work related stuff, but they really relate a lot of it back to what we do in life. So great show. Michael Hyatt has a podcast called This Is Your Life. He builds it as a weekly podcast dedicated to intentional leadership, and really does get into passion and focus and leading with influence. So great show. Pat Flynn has probably my two favorite shows. Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield's recent show. When you really get into, when I say favorite, I have lots of favorites, but they're probably my two favorites for just really nuts and bolts how to do stuff. And I mean, they are just packed with great information in that regard. And again, the links to all of these shows to check them out can be found on the show notes from today. So I'd recommend if you've heard some things that make sense, I recommend that you pop over to that page. And obviously I'll put a plug in for my show as well. Love it if you would subscribe, review. iTunes bases a lot of their how a show ranks when they're ranking shows based on activity like subscriptions and reviews. So love it if you would check that out. The you can listen to podcasts very easily with there's the iTunes app. If you're an iPhone user, comes native on the latest operating system, so pretty easy to listen. Another one that I really like is called Stitcher, and that's just Stitcher, the Stitcher app. I like the interface better, I think, than the iTunes interface. But it's just another way to listen, to discover and listen to podcasts as well. So that's it. That's my plug for and romp through the world of podcasting. But again, a means to an end of producing content in a way that people want to listen. Don't get caught up in, you know, what it is or why they call it podcasting or anything other than, I think, the ability that it gives you to maybe gain some access to people that you should be talking to, and further to produce content in a format that your prospects, customers want to be listening to. That's it. Take care, and hopefully we'll see you out there on the road.